Accessing library computer data.
And to make sure history never forgets the name Enterprise.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Penske Podcast. We're here continuing our Let's Watch Star Trek The Next Generation. If you haven't tuned in before, this is a podcast where we're going through all 178 episodes of Star Trek The Next Generation, giving our thoughts and feelings about each and every one. And, you know, right now we are up to episode 11 of season 2. This one's called Contagion. It aired back on March 20th, 1989. It was directed by Joseph L. Scanlon and written by Steve Gerber and Beth Woods. This episode is the one where Picard and company try to protect the Enterprise against a catastrophic malfunction and simultaneously unlock the secrets of a once powerful Iconian empire while keeping those secrets away from the watchful Romulans. My wife Amy's going to join us for this one, so a little bit of non-Trek fan versus Trek fan battle royale coming right up. See ya.
Romulan vessel, this is Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the USS Enterprise.
Captain Picard.
Explain your illegal presence in the neutral zone.
Explain yours.
Are you responsible for the destruction of the Yamato?
No. But believe me, Captain, had we chosen to exercise our right to defend the neutral zone, we would not have stopped with one starship.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Let's get to talking about Contagion. I'm here with Amy. Amy, how are you?
Good. Hey, guys.
We're going to, this is our second attempt, right? We're going to make up for our last failed attempt. Do we want to talk about that?
Yeah, I ruined the last podcast.
Well, I don't think it was you. I think we tried too late to get into Measure of a Man.
Well, it was late and we'd just gone out.
Yeah, that's true.
We came back from going out and I just...
You were shit-faced?
Yeah, I was so drunk.
None of this made sense. But you gave me a moment where you told me you had, what'd you say? She had a thing where she wasn't paying attention to something I was saying. My feelings were a little bit hurt, and then we had sort of had like minor back and forth pitter patter arguments, like only married couples can.
It wasn't good.
So we seem more lively here. So I think we're ready to talk about Contagion. So what'd you think?
Yeah. It was good, action packed.
Yeah, it was action packed.
Fun to watch.
Just for a quick plot thing, this is, let's see if we can run through this. So, Enterprise runs into a ship called the Yamato, which is a Galaxy-class ship that has been having problems. They've been trying to find this world Iconia, and their ship is malfunctioning. And then their ship explodes, and the Romulans appear, because they're in the neutral zone looking for this Iconian planet. And the Enterprise and Romulans go their separate ways, and the Enterprise decides that they're going to try to find Iconia, sort of like a farewell to that captain who was a friend of Picard's, and because Picard is an archaeological specialist, or it's his hobby. So they find this planet, and then the Enterprise starts malfunctioning. The planet has probes that try to interfere with the Enterprise. Picard, with Data, and Worf go down to the surface of the planet. They find this Iconian technology that can transport them anywhere they want, and then they fix the ship, and the Romulan ship, which has the same problem, and everyone flies off, and that's the end of the day.
It's the Yamato, Captain. I can't stop thinking about her. All those people... dead. I don't know how you and Commander Riker and Geordi, how you handle it so easily.
Easily? Oh, no, not easily. We handle it because we're trained to. As you will be.
So that was that
that's
succinct?
It, guys. That's the podcast.
That's pretty much it. We're done. Good night. So you didn't see Arsenal Freedom, or did you watch that one with me from the first season?
No, I don't think I saw that one.
This one feels like a much better, I don't know if much better, it feels like a redone version of Arsenal Freedom. I thought Arsenal Freedom was one of the better episodes of the first season, and it's where the crew goes down to a planet where like an ancient alien technology sort of tries to attack them. It's like an ancient thing that they just can't shut down. And this is kind of the same thing. Except the Enterprise gets sick and the lights flicker and you can't order your food that you want.
Right.
And that's sort of the big thing. So the main, I guess the main weird thing is that they fix it just by doing anything someone knows about computers would do to fix the problem. They basically wipe.
They controlled alt deleted.
They did. They controlled alt delete. They just wipe the computer and that fixes everything.
Yeah.
Which you'd think would
that
make sense.
That would have been my idea. I'd be like, guys, can we just power off and power back on again?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're brilliant.
I've been using a laptop that I can't figure out for the past 5 years, but I think. No, it's the. Which is a little bit weird. It's weird that. You get to the end and then you think like, oh, it should be more spectacular than that. And then really just reset the computer.
And Geordi was the only one to figure that out. The other Enterprise engineer.
No, the other. Yeah. They weren't up to snuff.
Or Yamati.
Yeah.
Yamato.
But, the Yamata. And yeah, it's a little bit of a letdown to a thing. I thought this one is a little bit, the plotting is not as good as the other episodes that are sort of around this one have been. I thought the cold open was really good with the exploding ship.
The cold open was very good. It set a good tone. And I would just say that Picard was pretty awesome in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Yes. You learned two things about Picard. You just reminded me.
What?
This episode is kind of like the origin of two things. He orders Earl Grey tea. That's his drink.
Hot.
Earl Grey hot. And he also has a fetish for archaeology, which becomes a huge character.
A fetish?
Yeah, it's a fetish.
Okay.
He gets
it's not an interest.
No, it's a fetish. He gets sexual pleasure from a non-sexual thing. Well, he has a couple adventures where he goes off archaeologing and then he like meets up with women. So
you're not allowed to say archaeology anymore.
Archaeologicaling. But those are two big character things that he is introduced here. And I guess the writer of this episode was very pleased that he had managed to sync those. It's his only script, I think, he wrote. So he was very pleased to, create impact on something so minor. But I don't know. What's your high point of the episode?
Well, I was entertained throughout the whole episode. I liked what this episode, I thought, did a good job of is it showed how good of a captain Picard is. You like trust him as a captain.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick Stewart just plays the role really well, in my opinion. He managed to capture, I think, the sadness about what happened to his like old comrade.
Yep.
In the Amato ship, but also a steadiness that is why he's the captain of the Enterprise in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And he goes down on the planet, which is
he's on the away team.
Unusual, yeah.
And he was great on the away team, steady as a rock.
And probably the most disastrous away team mission that
and
the
he
Enterprise.
Was not, he was like cool as a cucumber. He was about to be destroyed by that probe, and he was just like calmly.
Because Data basically has a stroke down on the planet, and Worf has to hold him while Picard asks him questions. Although the computer system for an advanced technology, you think would be more advanced than press blue.
That was the trick. Yeah, crazy.
Those are all the buttons.
Yeah, like really, seemingly very like simple solutions to ridiculously complicated technology.
Advanced technological problems are fixed with easy stuff. I think this is also the second appearance of the Romulans because they were in the neutral zone and I don't think we've seen them since then. So this kind of makes up for that. They're okay in this one.
Yeah, they're kind of a guy like they added a good dynamic. They're a good adversary.
They do. They're good in this situation where they're like, you're not supposed to be where they are. That's always like the kind of plot lines that they have where you're never supposed to be in the neutral zone and they're always just sort of grumpy about it.
Well, and Picard was pushing a boundary too. I mean, Picard wanted to explore this planet even if it wasn't necessarily the right thing to do because it was in the neutral zone. He took it upon himself to do that.
Yeah, and me and you were talking about just we're a little hazy on what you can and can't do in the neutral zone and like what is considered a bad thing. Like what if you want to explore the neutral zone? Can you just not go in there or do you have to request to get like a permission slip to go in there?
Maybe. Or yeah, I don't know.
It's very dicey. Because they tell them to leave and then they just go deeper in. And then they run into him again.
I think the Romulans would have been more pissed. Would they have been known that the Enterprise had a team down there? You'd think they would have known.
I think they knew.
Yeah, so it's funny that we didn't like have a run in with the Romulans down there.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of expecting that.
Well, their ship was so fucked up at that point, I guess, yeah. Right? Maybe they just can't do it.
That's true.
Because the Enterprise got them down there before things went haywire, yep. I think.
That is true. You're right. Their shields and their
their weapons were turning on and off.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, the Romulans, the Romulan outfits continue to be a little bit weird.
I know, great shoulder pads.
Great shoulder pads, yeah. Very 80s, like, woman of the office shoulder pads on the Romulan outfits.
Yeah.
And they're sort of, like, sparkly square, texture.
Yeah, they're very square.
Yeah, very in shoulders and in, like, the uniform is made of, like, little squares. I don't know what it is exactly, but iconic, but I don't know if it's the best look for them. They never really get any of the alien uniforms never really look as... like utilitarian as Starfleet's
as still. Form-fitting as form-fitting.
Yeah. Because, I mean, the Cardassians look pretty bad. The Romulans look like they have a hard time moving. And the Klingons are just wearing a lot of... The Klingons look okay, I guess.
Yeah.
For what they are. But, yeah, I thought this episode was a little bit of a retread of Arsenal of Freedom. I enjoy it. I don't know if it's one of my favorites. It seems pretty familiar with everything that goes on. I think they're just getting better at telling the story. You seem to like it, which is, you know, a kind of an indicator in and of itself.
Yeah, I did. I did enjoy it. I like the script wasn't unwatchable. Like sometimes these episodes are. I mean, I don't know what I'm comparing it to. Also, I'm comparing it to previous episodes in season one and season two, and many of them have been really bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my opinion of these episodes may change once I watch more of the show.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. But I'm trying to stay away from that as well, I guess, and just sort of grade them as where they stand. But
do you want me to tell you the things that I did like?
Yeah, give me some things that you liked. Okay. You took dedicated notes.
I did. I brainstormed. We had a 20-minute brainstorm session because Wes was so upset about the other podcast.
How dare you?
You need to mull it over.
Don't lie on the podcast.
So, I told you, I liked Picard. I liked Picard on the away team. He was steady.
Steady.
Geordi getting...
Geordi getting the
shit beaten out of... I guess it was like Geordi was like the only high commanding officer in the Enterprise to... So, what was happening on the Enterprise when the probe from the alien planet was messing with... you know, the Romulan ship and the Enterprise ship and then that other Enterprise ship that was destroyed. So everything was going haywire. Nothing was transmitting properly and you just have these like random sparks and...
Well, they hadn't run into a probe at that point. The Yamato had run into a probe.
They'd run into the probe. They were just Geordi was like running to the probe. Right. You have to destroy the probe.
He was running in because that was the first time they'd run into one. Yeah. Yep.
But Geordi just gets like whipped around and then he gets electrocuted.
Yeah. He was in the turbo lift and I don't know how the turbo lift was moving in every single direction.
It was like a magnet. It was almost like a magnet was pulling him.
Yeah.
Every which way.
But you'd imagine the turbo lifts can just go up and down or left and right like a shaft. They can't just go whatever way they want to go. I don't really know how the turbo lifts work. I'd imagine it's exactly like an elevator.
That's what I called it. I called it an elevator.
But he was reacting like the thing was just going whatever way and he was just getting thrown against the wall and whatever the opposite.
You know. It looked like that part of the ship was going to get blown, like detached from the Enterprise. That's what it seemed like.
Well, did you ever go on that ride on the amusement parks where it just spins and you get stuck to the wall? And then it, like, turns upside down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's exactly like that. And then he gets thrown to the floor. And we weren't sure if the ship was actively fucking with him or if he was just unlucky enough to be in a malfunctioning turbo lift, which seems to be the case later because Dr. Pulaski refuses to ride in the turbo lifts after that.
Yeah, no, it was definitely that the probe was messing with the turbo lift.
Because no, I know,
she
but...
she started using the stairs.
Was it going after... we were debating whether or not it was targeting Geordi because he was...
perhaps.
Like, he knew to shoot the probe and was trying to tell people.
The flaws seemed very random, though. They didn't seem to target, unless you were, like, messing with a specific, like, piece of technology, it would attack you, but it just seemed random.
No, I think by the end of it, it's clear that it's just sort of a totally random failing, but we at the time, it was not clear. And then, he gets electrocuted, and Data throws him. And they have a weird sort of comedy scene where Geordi's acting as though he's paralyzed and talking on the floor as Data is hovering above him.
Yeah, it was very awkward.
Data, what happened to me, Data?
Sir, these are one of these spontaneous occurrences. Thanks, Data.
Blue electricity. What else? What's next in your notes?
Right, like, I don't know if I liked this, but I thought it was interesting. Riker took the bridge when Picard went on the away team, and it just seemed like Riker in command, nothing was, he's not really in control until the very end. Like, nothing.
Well, the ship wasn't working for him.
Yeah, the ship wasn't working.
They had the funny scene with
him. And he said, what the hell? Like, it was just like, what captured Riker in this episode is him just like looking puzzled and saying, what the hell?
What the hell is that? But he has the, it's sort of comedy, I guess, where or Troy even mentions it would be funny if it was less serious, where the shields are going up and down. The Romulans are trying to shoot at them, but can't.
Yeah.
And then
are down, sir. Shields back up, sir.
He has the nice line about, can someone give me some rocks so that I can throw them at them?
Right.
If it should become necessary to fight, could you arrange to find me some rocks to throw at them?
What else?
But good touch at the end. I liked how he helped save the Romulans at the end. He gave he had Geordi send over.
Yeah, the fix.
How to fix, like, shut off power down and power back up again to the Romulans.
Yeah.
The end.
You don't think they need instructions to know how to do that, but they do. And then they leave. But then they show the shot of the Romulan warbird leaving orbit, too. I wish they hadn't shown that. I wish it had just shown the Enterprise
maybe
leaving.
Maybe that they blew up.
Or, yeah, maybe they didn't fix it or, like, a reason, but they...
I know, that would have been cool if they didn't make it. Because there was that clip at the end where Riker was like, maybe their engineer won't be
as hasty,
as Geordi.
Yep.
And it would have been cool if Geordi could have been, like the only engineer that day to have figured out what to do.
Well, if it's
have survived it, or they were the only ship to have survived it.
I was just thinking, like, on the other ship, it's the other, like, the Romulan engineer is getting thrown around in the turbo lift and everything. He's like, he's having even a worse time than Geordi was.
I know.
Just targets the engineers, and they don't really like it.
Yeah, exactly. The probe. what else? Pulaski in her, like, one scene that, you know, she's kind of an afterthought in the show at this point, but
where she's yelling at an underling. For no reason. It's really just to give, backstory to to what she's like, well, I've got all these people hurt. I can't ride the turbo lift. But she's just telling some random doctor who doesn't have a line, and then he just walks away.
Yeah, she's just antagonistic to whomever she speaks to. But I did enjoy her explaining what a splint is to, because all the medical technology is failing. So when this one guy, I guess, has like a broken leg or whatever, and her one doctor doesn't know what to do, and she's explaining a splint. Which
he seems very dubious of. He's like, this is not medicine.
This is not medicine anymore.
You're a nurse.
We're bringing it back to the basics in this episode.
Would one of your doctors question what a splint was?
I know he would have slammed his fist down. This is not best practice.
This is not medicine. And that's the only Pulaski scene, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. She was not. That was it.
Yeah, I'm just taking note of how little she is in any of these episodes. So what's next?
Yeah, I mean, I think I touched on all of my notes.
What'd you think of the planet, the Iconian planet?
It was okay.
Thought it was just okay, too.
I wish there was a little bit more, a little bit more suspense there. I was more nervous about what was happening on the Enterprise than what was happening on Iconia.
Yeah, that's true. And especially since they seemed like they're trying to make the stakes high, that like Picard could just randomly go to any planet when he tries to leave. The stakes did feel higher on the Enterprise for whatever reason than down there. Just because, and they don't really do a lot down there. They kind of figure it out, and then they look at the...
Yeah, they look at the gateway.
The gateway, which only seems to go to four places in the universe, you know, and two of them happen to be the ships that are right next to the planet.
That was a funny thing. I kept like recycling back to
through pictures of places.
Every 4 minutes, it cycled. It went through a 4 minute cycle.
Yeah,
and they figured out like there was the Enterprise, and then they were like, okay, in 3 minutes we're going to be able to just walk through the gateway, even though they didn't know if it was just an illusion.
Well, Data stuck his hand through it. I guess that proves something. But
I guess.
Worf is very good at keeping track of time in his head is something that we learn. Because Picard asks him how long it's been since he last saw that. And
he's
said
like,
four minutes now.
Yeah.
3 minutes now. But I thought it was funny because two of the places were obviously Earth. And then two of the places were the Romulan ship and the Enterprise Bridge.
Yeah.
And it's like...
But yeah, they were like mystical places on Earth, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe they weren't Earth. We don't know.
One was like a office building in Toronto or something.
I was looking at that online.
There was clearly a building on Earth.
Oh.
And then one was Athens, something like that.
Yes, one did look like that.
The Pantheon or whatever.
Yeah, it did.
And, yeah.
Yeah, that is weird. It was a weird little... Not the best, like, away team mission.
No.
It wasn't... Well,
couldn't they just clarify... Like, I feel like Picard could have typed in something to bring up a portal instead of it just randomly shuffling through four different places. Data's out of commission,
well,
I guess, at the point.
Data, I think Data... Because Data tried to access the computer and then the probe, you know, attacked him, basically, and started resetting his system.
Yeah.
So they had no... They wouldn't have known what to do anyway.
Yeah.
They had to translate it. It was in a different language. And Worf was like, without Data, we can't translate
this.
Yeah,
we can't read what it says. Blue.
Yeah.
And then Data dies in this episode, which is also something surprising.
And then he comes back to life.
Yeah, then he comes back to life immediately and seems out of it. But I guess
that
him doing it.
Sorry to cut you off.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
But that actor's facial expressions are awesome.
As Data. Mm-hmm. Brent Spiner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's good. He's certainly getting better at playing Data.
Yeah.
He was a little bit stiff in the first season. He's getting better at it now. His sort of like bird-like way that he looks at things, or like when he's sort of cocking his head and thinking about things.
Yeah, yeah. But he manages to make like in many ways he reminds me of how the Scarecrow acts in Wizard of Oz. I know I've said this to you before, where it's like, that actor managed to capture being like kind of human, but then also having these like non-human elements where he'd like make his leg fall.
Right. Yep.
As if he were made of straw. And I feel like Data or Brent Spiner manages to like make his eyes move and his mouth move as if he actually were a robot.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah. It gets a lot to do with the Data stroke where he can't really talk and is just sort of like twitching his head around.
He acted that well.
Yep. Yep. Very, pretty effective. It's lucky that he can't see, but he can talk enough to exactly explain. So he's not really disabled. It just took a little bit more time than it normally would if he was speaking all right.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a strange thing that they didn't really take him out of the show. And then he dies and then he gets resurrected. And his resurrection is what gives Geordi the idea to clean wipe everything, I guess, because Data, when he gets damaged, clean wipes and starts over again or something.
Yeah, it was like, like automatic, what is it? It's something our computers like. It's just like an automatic save mode or something.
He reformats
what
himself.
What happens like when Word crashes and it recovering?
Oh yeah, right from like a recovery file.
You did this. You sabotaged my ship.
Oh no!
I cannot deactivate the auto destruct. But at least I have the satisfaction that you will die with us.
Not, I think, today, Commander.
He went to an earlier version of himself. He was on the cloud.
He
was on the cloud. He updated in East.
Like, where all my things are.
He updated himself to the cloud. We're laughing about the cloud because we've had a lot of Apple experience in the past week about failing iPhones and everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, Data.
And my like very loose understanding of what the cloud is.
Yeah. And having some college freshman working at the Genius Bar try to explain what the hell's going on. Yeah, but it was an okay episode. I don't consider this one great. I think it's a little bit melodramatic. In some ways, like Data dying feels a little bit melodramatic, even though it only happens for a second. Oh, and then there's another scene I thought on the bridge, I thought, where like Riker and Troy just felt a little bit forced. I don't feel like the tone really carries it together all that well in this show.
Oh, I forgot another thing that I liked. Sorry, have you gone over all the things that you like?
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. I don't really have anything else different.
But there was a, because I'm endlessly frustrated with Troy's character. I think she's useless.
Mm-hmm.
But when, it was at the very beginning when the Romulan the female first officer on the Romulans comes in and is just like demanding why they're in the neutral zone.
Yeah.
And it's still unclear at that point how the other Starfleet ship exploded, whether it was a tech. They didn't realize at that point it was a technical glitch. They thought maybe the Romulans attacked them.
Yep.
And so, you know, their Picard and the Romulan commander have this conversation, and then she goes away, and then Troy's like, "Sir, the Romulan commander is anxious." And Worf is like, "Yeah, no, like, no shit. Like, I'd be anxious too if I just attack someone." And it's like, yes, that is like, Worf feels the same way as I do about Troy. It's just like, thanks for just pointing out an obvious emotion.
Although she was right at that point, right? Worf was wrong. It continues the character trait of Worf being wrong because they didn't actually blow the thing up. But you're not familiar enough with the show, but there's it's like a running meme that Worf is always wrong. Anything Worf says is usually the wrong answer.
Because he's more reactionary?
Yeah, and he's just sort of supposed to be the, like...
Yeah.
Like, emotional...
Well, he seems to just assume whatever's...
Assume the worst.
Yeah, the worst or whatever's obvious.
There's, like, a funny YouTube video of Worf getting shot down, and it's, like, 10 minutes of every time he's ever been, like, told no in an episode. It's pretty funny. But, yeah, it's an okay episode. I think we can wrap it up now. I'm going to... this is a 3 out of 5 for me.
I'd agree.
Yeah.
For me, as a viewer of, like, just going from the beginning until now,
you know that my 3 is what I consider a good, good to decent Star Trek episode. A 4 is one that I think is very good that I would show to someone who's not familiar with the show. So a 4 is the 3-4 dividing line. Is a 4 is an episode I could show someone who doesn't know Star Trek and not feel bad. Like, you know. I figured they would get it. It's enough of the show in and of itself to make sense to someone who's not familiar with it.
Yeah, I would agree with your 3 rating.
Yeah. Whereas the Royale, which comes after this, is a little bit different, and I would show that. I guess I just gave away my hand, but the Royale I consider a little bit better than this episode.
Yeah. More clever.
Yeah, more interesting. Yeah. This one feels a little generic in some ways. Which is not bad. I think it's just because it's so familiar from the first season's Arsenal episode.
Yeah, I wish I saw that one so I could... I knew what you were talking
about. It's definitely better than that, but I don't feel it's really all that much different from it. But yeah, so you'd give it a 3? Turn your notes aggressively?
Yeah. Let me look at my notes one more time. I'd give it... I would say a 3. Just because I think I've seen better Star Trek episodes than this one, although I enjoyed this one.
Yeah.
There are ones that I think I like better.
Yep. No, I think this fits perfectly for me. 2 would... I enjoy it, so it's not a 2. I probably wouldn't show it to anyone and be like, this is a good Star Trek episode. But it's enjoyable. It's got a good title, too. I'm a sucker for titles. I like the title Contagion.
Mm.
Good.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah, it gives an image, like a punch. Good movie, too.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks very much, lady, for coming on.
No problem.
And that's it. We're halfway through... Season 2.
Yeah, almost there.
Yeah, well, I'll see you in 5 years when we're done. And we can resume our life. Our life. I don't want your life. Okay, well, do you have anything final things to say?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Just, you know, breathe and reboot, guys. Just,
yeah.
That'll fix everything.
When your computer's going haywire, that almost felt like a song. Yeah, shut it down. Shut it down. When your computer is lost. Whatever. So...
We should edit that part out.
No, we'll leave it in. Whatever. It's late at night. It's almost time for bed. So I'll be back next time. Clay's going to join us for the Royale. And I exposed my hand a little bit early there. And I enjoy the Royale. And we have a conversation about that one. And this one, it's okay. It's a 3 out of 5. And Amy agrees. So we'll be back next time with the Royale. And then Amy will come back sometime after that. So thank you guys for listening. If you enjoy the content, you're on YouTube, a like and a comment's appreciated. If you're on iTunes, which the show also is, a rating and review is also appreciated. Only if you enjoyed it, though. It just helps us go through the rankings and all that stuff. Helps more people hear the podcast. Thank you, guys, and we will see you later.
Bye, guys.